Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'll tell you about critics. They're not always right, you know. And I'll tell you another thing. When Cats opened on Broadway, the stage musical, it didn't get very good reviews. Oh, hello, 40 years later.
Cats! Meow!
Meow! Welcome to, what is this called? Our Week with Cats, a limited run podcast series from the fellas who brought you the worst idea of all time. Guy Montgomery, Tim Batt here. We've taken it upon ourselves to enjoy the tail end of an incredibly short cinematic New Zealand release of the $100 million film by Tom Hooper, Cats, the Broadway musical. We've just seen it for the first time. We've been listening to the soundtrack on the way home. We banned ourselves from talking about it in the car. So what you are getting is the fresh meat, the juicy, virginal thoughts of these two moviegoers who have just seen it for the first time.
You're getting a little wet food here.
Yes.
This isn't just kibble. Mm. This is, this is high-end cat food. And what a film.
I want to stress as well, because this isn't always the case, Guy and I are stone cold sober, and we were giggling like little schoolgirls in that cinema. Not throughout, but man, there's bits that just fucking get you.
Yeah, it is a high-end, upscale romp through the streets of London town, as represented by a sort of ragtag group of cats, I would say varying size, which is true, but also on a sliding scale of
there's no size. Consistent, the physics are all off.
And you know what? Why bother?
Nah.
At this point, Tim, why would you bother?
Because I like some consistent universe, you know? I like me some consistent universe for us to play
in. What is more consistent than saying there are no rules?
I guess that's true, but you got to have some. When you're turning very famous people into different famous cats, you got to have something to grab hold of. And one of those things should be a consistent size of the characters that we're trying to emotionally connect with on screen. Are they the size of rats, as suggested in the scene where we are dancing atop rail tracks?
Yeah.
Or are they the size of even larger than cats, as displayed in some other scenes when they're in the theatre playing on the stage?
Because the theatre is advertised from the outside as a theatre for humans, but when you put the cats in there...
But everything's named after cats, too.
That looks like a theatre for cats.
The Egyptian, the milk bar is the bar they go to. Like, what is this world where everything is built for humans, but actually it's built for humans who want to live as cats?
And we do see one human. Early on, a human drops off a cat who turns out to be the lead. I need to get a list of character names.
Victoria, what did you think of her? Think of her.
She was fantastic.
Yeah, Vanessa something.
She's a new discovery, right?
I believe so.
Amongst the absolute fucking madness that is unspooling around her and in front of any audience, she's holding it together. She turns in a pretty strong performance. Bear in mind, I'm pretty sure that they would have had these performers in motion capture suits to make sure that all of the dance moves that were so carefully choreographed are captured accurately. It seems to me the technology they used to transpose their human faces onto the bodies of these cats was that filter you can use when you go to Instagram stories and you just take a photo of your face and you sort of just... you know, with your thumbs shrink it until it looks kind of like it fits on the body.
So you've cracked on to quite... This is the 80-20 problem, right? You can get 80% of the results of the movie Cats by spending 20% of the budget. Like that, it's, that Instagram filter will get you a surprisingly close amount of the way to the way that it looks in Cats.
The only...
But to get that final little bit that they got in Cats, which is not nailing it, but just that little bit more... That'll cost you $100 million.
The only time, the part I think they spent a lot of money on was the top of the heads. Sometimes the cats would look down at the ground and you'd see the top of their heads.
Yes.
And when you'd see that, you'd think, wow, looks like a cat. And then it would look back up and you'd think, no, that's a person. The other piece of technology, or I mean, because you were telling me halfway through the movie, there was some sort of furore around Dame Judi Dench's hands.
There's two versions of the film that has been played at cinemas. There is the first version. Okay, so this is actually pretty fucking cool. Tom Hooper was apparently working on this film to such a late extent that he was working on the visual effects like days before it was released
you
into cinemas.
You wouldn't know it to see it. And you can sense the panic, but not the execution.
The panic is written on the walls. It is everywhere in this film. You feel panicked watching it. You feel the director going, oh my God, 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 I fucked it, I fucked it, I fucked it, I fucked it. So there's a version that went through where the visual effects weren't completely finished, and the way that you can tell which one you watch, because they rushed a new version of the film to cinemas after its initial release, which never happens. And apparently the way that you
it can't be cheap.
It cannot be cheap. You're dead right. The way that you can tell which version you're watching is apparently Judi Dench's watch, her wristwatch, which she wore on set, I guess, which she wasn't supposed to, is clearly visible. And I thought that we were watching the initial one. I was very excited about it because you can see her. Like, some of them have cat-ish hands.
No, none of them do.
It seems like from afar they do. Maybe it's just some of the women have long nails.
The
like
only
claws.
Point at which they even approach the idea that these cats have paws and not human hands is when Taylor Swift
does that.
She puts her claws out. But otherwise, these are the hands of the actors. They have put no time, money, effort, or energy into turning them into cat hands.
I feel like they were furry at some points. Maybe they weren't. Maybe that's just me.
No, it was...
I'm projecting what I thought should have happened.
And that's totally fair enough. I found myself not super early on. That Jellicle Cats opening number is a fucking ripper.
Yeah, it slaps,
bro. It's really, really fun.
So, actually, can we, before we go any further, can we just set the scene a little bit? So, Guy and I rock up to... So, the way that works in the Southern Hemisphere is Christmas and New Year's and summer all coincide. So, everyone takes the first 2 to 3 weeks of January off, if possible, and they go to the beach or just wherever. So, we're coming into a period where everything's pretty slow living. The sun is out. People don't really want to go to the flicks. And we were expecting an empty cinema, 3:30 in the afternoon. It's not. Three quarters full? A little over half full?
It was, by what I was visualizing, it was reamed. It was,
yeah.
We were absolutely swimming in people. And
average age?
Well, there was a bit of range, but, you know, I'd say on average you're looking at 60?
Upwards, I'd say. Average age, I'd 70.
We were sort of odd. We were about 5 rows down, and there were people all the way up behind us, but there was only 2 people in front of us, and one of them was this old boy who was drumming through the entire
was
musical.
He?
Yeah. He was like
sick.
Slapping the arms
that
on the
real
chair.
Real old dude.
Slapping his legs.
Fuck yes.
Occasionally he'd get into it and he'd tap on his partner's leg to be like, "Ooh, I'm in the pocket, babe."
That's me, bro.
It's
me in 50 years.
It was really fun to watch. But yeah, it was old.
We were one of only 4 males in this very packed cinema. So the other one was this old guy who I would put at about 80. And the other, and fuck, I felt for him. A grandson who would have been probably 8 years old. He was trying his best, but he was just bored out of his fucking mind.
Yeah, he was...
Started running about, doing some cool shit on the seats.
Honestly, I get it. The blame for this cannot be laid at the feet of Tom Hooper or whoever wrote the adapted screenplay for Cats, but they really drop you in it, and they... don't give you a lot of context clues or time to find your bearings and really, you know, insert yourself into the story. They say, here's a cat who's been kicked out of home for reasons unknown. And
well, she's a little kitten, isn't she? She's an unwanted little kitten, which is why she's in a burlap sack.
Well, I'd say this, Tim. It's impossible to tell because she is the same size as all of the other cats.
Got very confusing because you're like, that's a hot cat. And then you're like, oh, gross. I shouldn't say that. She's so young. And then you go, oh, wait a minute. She's a cat.
Yeah,
What is happening here?
Some of the cats are fucking sexy.
Some of the cats are also very down to fuck. Idris Elba.
So
when he takes his coat off.
Oh my God. He's like, there's a point.
He's so naked. He's so hyper naked.
Yeah, it's crazy. And there's a point just before that, which is the railway cat called Skimbleshanks. All of the cats have been prancing around. And you think, this is fine. This is normal. And then the railway cat fucking kicks in the door. And he's wearing
tap
pants.
Shoes.
He's wearing tap shoes and he's wearing trousers with, like, they're overalls, essentially. And if he's wearing overalls, that means all of the other cats are naked.
Absolutely.
And then you're like, okay, so there can be nudity in the cat community. And then Idris Elba shows up wearing nothing at all. Yeah. And you're like, my...
But none of them are wearing anything. He's just somehow super naked. The rest of them are kind of naked.
Because there's tone.
There's
human tone to
Cat
his body.
Cat shouldn't have a six-pack.
He's got a six-pack, and you can see the tone on his arms. And Taylor Swift also, they made a buxom cat. Otherwise, they didn't really dabble with bosom. But
yes.
Taylor Swift, I don't know if it was in the contract.
I feel like that was in the contract for sure. And I think there's probably a very fine documentary which would be infinitely more profitable about the contract negotiations that existed between the A-list stars, agents, and the producers of this fine film.
But they really drop you in it. You've got this cat, this kitten who's lost, is sort of immediately surrounded and then loosely befriended by the Jellicle cats. And it just...
The Jellicle, of course, we all know what that is.
The Jellicle cats are Jellicle cats. And it just fucking marches ahead without pausing for anyone who didn't get on the train. And it's song after song. It's nonsense. And they introduce all variety of cats, all sorts of different cats. And at the end of every song, I found myself praying, begging, even though I knew I was watching a musical, no more songs. No, just give
you were exhausted by the songs, eh?
Just give me a minute of people saying, hey, wow, let's go into this building for this reason. It's just nonsense. Just song after song after song after song. And of course some of the songs are fun, but some of the songs suck.
Yeah, a lot of them do.
And it just goes. You've got to give it this. Fuck it. It puts the throttle down and it just goes. And then people show up out of nowhere. Real celebrities show up in cat suits on the streets of London, shrunken down to whatever size
the scene requires,
and they just sing whatever the fuck they're told.
It is a wild wild ride. Let me say this, Rebel Wilson, terrible.
Yeah,
a terrible performance through and through. She was bad at the songs, bad at the acting. Wasn't landing the jokes.
She was given pretty dire jokes. All of her jokes were like, look what the cat dragged in. Or, you know, like they were all not even cat puns.
Cat just got your tongue?
Cat idioms.
That's silly. What is this word? Like, fuck. Think about it, guys. That saying doesn't exist here. God damn it. You know who I wanted to hate more but couldn't? James Corden. He kind of pulled it off.
Yeah, but this movie is perfect for you to enjoy James Corden because the entire thing is so ridiculous and farcical.
It does make fun of him the entire duration.
It's impossible to earnestly kind of enjoy it. And so you see him kind of like performing to the appropriate level of the musical and you're, oh yeah, you get it.
If
the cast, you get what this is. This is nothing.
Hard out.
And so that is in and of itself enjoyable.
He got the tone about right. Jennifer Hudson brings the house down. Like, she's incredible, but she's in a different movie in this movie.
But I will say this. When she performed Moonlight, so there's a Moonlight reprise early where the young Victoria cat hears, what's the name of Jennifer Hudson's cat? Grizabella.
The Glamour Puss.
Yeah, the Glamour Puss, who's sort of been cast aside by the Jellicle cats because she signed with McCavity, who's Idris Elba, who's the villainous cat. Yeah, so that's why she's sort of been shunted to the fringes of society, because she's sort of
faded glory.
Yeah.
And she hung out with the wrong cat.
But she sings a reprise of Moonlight or Memories, and I was sort of like, oh my God. And then it doesn't get to the big bit, and I was like, oh, that means we've got it to look forward to. And then at the tail end of the film, ultimately there is I guess they kind of fell on a message. Like, it is her character has a redemption arc. And through Victoria, all of the Jellicle cats understand the idea of mistakes made and forgiven. But she comes back and fucking rips Memories, and all of the hairs on my body stood up on end. Pure goosebumps when the big drop comes in. I'm like,
the one that's in the trailer. You'll know it if you've seen the trailer, that one. But it's, you know,
and I knew it would do it too.
You got $100 million, and I'm loath to bring it up, but take the dribble out of blowy nose, man. It's right. It's right.
You think they missed that? You don't think that was a creative decision?
We got an ECU. We're right up in there. It's a big screen that we're in. It's the cinema. Like, can we just get some matte on there?
I liked it. It communicated emotion.
But you can do that with a tear. Maybe it speaks more to me.
A tear would get caught at the first hurdle, right in the fur. You ever seen a cat cry, Tim?
I haven't seen a cat, snot itself either, though, you know?
Well, you need to look a little closer.
Maybe I do. And I guess that was the moral of the story. Now, what was it all about? So the Jellicoe cats are ostensibly a cult of cats that sort of worship at the foot of Dame Judi Dench, whose character is Old Deuteronomy. And every year, I'm guessing, Old Deuteronomy gathers all the cats, they perform for her leisure, and then she picks one of them to go to heaven, maybe. They go to a place called the Heaviside Layer, H-E-A-V-I, Layer. I don't know. And then it's revealed what that entails in the movie. Because, you know, this is what I was saying before in the preamble. Is that
preamble, please.
Preamble, sorry. You're right, I did fuck that up. Film is so literal. So in the musical, it's kind of like you can sort of take it as visual metaphor because of the limitations of what you can do on a theatre stage. But here, you see, what's the cat called again that gets picked? Jennifer Hudson's cat?
Grisabella
go away in a hot air balloon and just disappear into the sky. And you're like, I don't think she's going to heaven. I think she's going to die in that hot air balloon. And I think that Judi Dench has been lying to all these cats and just sending them one by one off on a balloon annually.
Yeah.
Why are these cats so obsessed with magic, Guy? There's two magical cats out of a cast of about 10 cats. One of them's real good at magic and one of them is pretty good at magic.
Yeah, but they with the confidence of the other cats, Mr. Mistopheles, who is played by Laurie Davidson. I could not for the life of me figure out.
I don't know who that is.
What I'd seen Laurie Davidson in, and even now that I look at his filmography, I still cannot. I really liked him though.
He was good.
I thought he was good. And Idris Elba's cat McCavity has sort of dark magic on his side. But yeah, they all perform their songs and dances.
He's a Satanist.
And it's a really great device by which you can just literally do whatever the fuck you want. You say, this cat works on a train, and then a cat comes in.
And then we hear a song about that.
And sings a song about
it. And then you pick a size and you pick a song, and then you're away for 4 minutes. That's a scene. Yeah.
And this, I mean, I could see how this would work as a musical. I could also see how this would work if you were watching it on hallucinogens.
Yeah.
But in the cold light of day, on the big screen, there is no engine, unless you love the songs, there's no engine through which you can make it to the end of the movie. That's what I thought. And it's like, it is staggering to look at the scale of it and how rich every shot was and how they'd filled out everything. It is mind-blowing to think how many people worked so fucking hard. And they must have just been doing it, laboring under the delusion that someone knew that this would turn out okay. That there was someone in charge who was going to pull all of these loose strands together and send out something that resembled a finished product.
It's old Deuteronomy sending you off on a hot air balloon when you think you're going to reach heaven, you know?
Truly, everyone must have been toiling away, like working their ass off. And to what end, Tim?
I keep coming back to the editors who just must have spent so much time with this footage that you'd lose the wood for the trees. And you're like, Is this? Because at one point, you know, you get all this footage, and you're like, okay, I guess we got to cut this thing up. We got to figure this out. And I think with any film, you don't really know what you're dealing with until you're about sort of like 85% done, and then you're like, this is what the thing is. But the whole time, the editors must have just been like, they would have got to a point eventually, and been like, oh fuck, I don't think this is anything.
No, but that's. I feel maybe they were led astray because. Surely this would be one of the easier movies to make. If you're just adapting a stage play or you're adapting from a pre-existing text, if you get lost, you just look at the thing that you're copying and you go, oh, yeah, it's just this.
I guess so. So. But you're also going, but this is a movie, so there are some things that need to be different.
So I feel like at the end of it, everyone was quietly saying to each other, this shouldn't be a movie. This should just have stayed on the stage. Yeah. But, I mean, they've spent $100 million at that point. What are you going to do? You're going to send out the wrong fucking version of it.
It's not that it was the wrong version, Guy, because at the time, that was the film. And then it got so much flack that Tom Hooper was like, I know what will fix this. We'll digitally remove Judi Dench's wristwatch. That will save this film.
Yeah, I agree. Judi Dench's wristwatch is kind of ruining the rest of the movie.
Small details or big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Then there are moments where the cast, which I like when they do in musicals, they really physically represent how hard everyone's worked. By, you know, that at the end of the big song and dance numbers, almost in the realm of the film, and so the cats are exhausted and they're realizing that they're putting on this performance. They all sort of lie on the floor and they're heavy breathing, you know, as you'd see in a musical. And if you see that in a musical, what you are compelled to do is clap.
Yes.
And sort of you go, we see.
Did you see the little kid did it?
Oh, I didn't.
It was toward the end. It was one of the, I think it was, I can't remember what the song was. I don't know.
But you.
And that 7-year-old, he knew his cue.
Yeah, yeah.
No one joined him. So, I was like, you fucking hero,
that's
you
what,
get it.
That's what you're compelled to do. But in a movie theater, and when they haven't inserted anything to create a transition, and you're just watching these celebrities
Panting
as cats,
yeah,
and you can't applaud it. You're just left there being, all you want to do is just break the silence and say, what the f-? You know, like, just so that there's a sense of community in the room, so everyone in the room at the same time can say, this is anarchy.
Yeah.
But you can't, you just sit there and politely go, well, I guess there's another song coming up. I wonder where the next cat's from.
This is the kind of NASA film that makes you want to nudge a person you've never met before who's sitting next to you in the theater and go, you seeing this shit?
Absolutely.
One bit where I nudged Guy was when we're first introduced to Sir Knight of the Realm, Ian McKellen. And he is a disheveled, old, faded star of the stage.
He's a theater cat.
Called Gus. And our introduction to him is he's behind a backstage curtain just licking a puddle. And I said to Guy, I don't like this. I do not like seeing Sir Ian McKellen lapping water from a puddle.
Yeah. As soon as you consider the titles that some of these performers have in the real world, it does go from being a bit of a lark to something quite debasing. I liked seeing when Dame Judi Dench and Sir Ian McKellen would make eye contact as their characters, because yes. I'd be like, they were doing that as characters, but they were also doing it as performers.
Absolutely. Out. That is exactly what I thought too. Whenever they shared a moment on screen, it was like, those two fucking get it. They're having a chat in their trailers afterwards over a finger of whiskey or two. They know what they've got themselves into.
Oh, my word.
That's the beauty of being so famous and having such an incredible career and being a little bit older, that you can grab hold of one of these and be like, what?
Yeah.
Hey?
This is, I can't believe, like, why did you say yes? I said yes because you said, they told me you had already signed.
Ah, got us again.
They got swindled.
I think that's how they pulled this together as well. I reckon they told everyone that they had signed
Hollywood churns these movies, though. I guess it makes sense. There's a certain amount of celebrity or cachet attached to a project, and they approach you, and you think, I mean,
you want to do Cats?
Independently, each of those person might make a bad decision in their career.
Yeah.
But critical mass, there's no way all of them are making that same bad decision simultaneously. This is a risk-free project. I'm in. And Cats sort of illuminates what happens when all of those stars guess wrong on the same project. And that is fun.
It's like pumping and dumping a stock in the stock market. It's like, this seems like junk, but a lot of people are jumping in on it, and I don't understand why, but I cannot miss out on this. And they all hurried in, and it was worthless, just as they suspected. I tell you what threw me, and this is again like a kind of breaking of the rules of the universe they created. All the other characters this doesn't happen with, but with Rebel Wilson, was showing her form, and she's naked like all the other cats, and that's fine. And then she unzips her skin to reveal not only another skin, but a dress and then a skin. And it's fucking creepy, and I hated it.
She does it twice. Yeah, it does.
She does it once as a plot device to escape being chained up, tightly bound to a pillar on a ship. Because that old McCavity has trapped her there using his Satan magic.
That's right.
And she zips off her apparently constantly wearing top layer, which looks like the normal cat skin everyone else has. Fuck, man. You got to pick some rules and lay them down and stick to them.
I mean, yes. I feel ordinarily yes. But this movie, to me, does exist outside of
anything.
The norms. I think I can support, I didn't enjoy all of it, but I can support every decision that was made in this movie. Because it's literally, you go, yeah, why, you know, it's like a night out when it's just all gone to shit and you're thinking, yeah, of course.
You throw down. That's a really good point. Because it is one of those nights. It's like, you know, the car's blown up. You've scuffed your favorite pants. They're a light color. That's not coming out. You know, you got overcharged at the bar for the dinner. And if you have a mindset where you keep a tally of all these negative things, then all you're going to see is negative things. But if you go, yeah, it's all part of tonight, isn't it? That's
of course,
all,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
all right.
You say, of course, and then all of a sudden it becomes this sort of elevated experience. It's not just, you know, an accumulation of bad events.
You got to sit a little above
small
it.
Small frustrations.
Eh?
You look at it and you go, this is incredible.
Yes.
What is the likelihood of this?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I really liked it. Occasionally they do a bit, or they did it early. I didn't really repeat it until at the very end, which we'll talk about, but they'd get the cast of Cats. All of them would be looking at you.
Yeah.
It was when they first discovered Grisabella outside of the Egyptian, and it's after they've done a big song and dance number, and as an audience member, it feels like there's about sort of, as most of the ensemble and a few of the famous people, they're all barreling the camera.
I did not notice that. They break the fourth?
They're all looking right at you.
I thought,
and you're sitting there, and usually in cinema, they are looking at you. But in this instance, it really felt like I was looking at them. And I was like, yep. Okay. I know this runs for 111 minutes and we've only been here for 25.
It was a plea for help, silently
but
screaming.
Then the camera swivels around and showed that they were actually looking at Jennifer Hudson Grisabella, who then sort of scuttles off and we told her backstory. But then at the end of the movie, they do it again where one of the cats barrels the camera.
Dame Judi Dench, and old Deuteronomy.
It's Dame Judi Dench. She sent Jennifer Hudson off to fucking die of lack of oxygen in a hot air balloon.
The heavy lay aside.
And
there's got to be an anagram for something.
She barrels the camera and she says, well, you've seen all sorts of cats. I'll bet you've learned something. Cats aren't dogs.
You think he's making it up. That's what she says.
And
she said, "What? The line is something like, one thing to allow your memory to jog, a cat is most certainly not a dog." It's like, that's fucking lazy rhyming scheme, first of all. The lyrics are terrible to so many of these songs. Andrew Lloyd Webber is a mistakenly celebrated lyricist. He's so bad at it.
He's not. Is he the lyricist?
I think. Oh, maybe he just does the music.
Is
I don't
it
know.
A guy called Tim Rice? I'm going to look up who did the book. As you were, though.
You know, Tim Rice should have partnered up with Tim Curry. And we're cooking. Judi Dench barrels the camera and delivers this lesson to you. Because the whole movie, you're like, okay, I guess each of these characters has a human trait they're representing. We have the dark side of human nature and McCavity, the evil Satanist magician cat. We have the kind of the underdog weakling, but then with the power of community turned strong hero cat in Mr. Mistopheles. We've got this kind of pure, young, pure
sexy
of heart,
cat.
Confusingly sexy cat, Victoria. But then Judy Dench is like, no, it's not a metaphor. It's about cats. And now we're going to, our final number that we will sing to you is how you should treat your cat at home. First you take your hat off to them, then you bow, and then you give them a plate of milk, and then give them a treat, which might be caviar. You should ask the cat what they're into, and then call the cat by its name, roll credits.
Yeah. And they do. All and of the just, cats, at, by this point, it's no longer nighttime in London, Cat Town. It's the morning, and she looks down upon the ensemble, and they scatter. As though...
Gone for another year.
They're the borrowers. I mean, to be fair, do you think in this cinematic universe, ordinary cats also exist? And so
that's
these are the mutants who like exist between cats and humans. And that's why they shield, like that's why
okay.
they can't be observed by humans.
Okay.
Humans know about cats. They know about humans. They do not know about this crossbreed.
One cat got caught and that's Victoria, which is why these owners were like, I don't know what the fuck yeah. this is, but it is not staying in
I'm
the
house.
I'm
not taking it to the government. We're not holding on to it. It's not going to the SPCA. It's going on the fucking street.
Yeah, because whatever happens, we're attached to it. So we need, before anyone sees us with this cat, we got to get rid of it.
I mean, that to me is the... That is what is logical.
Cats don't eat cockroaches, do they?
Not that I know of. I really liked that little, the cockroach tattoo. That was in Rebel Wilson's...
Like a military tattoo.
Her cat,
about, folks.
Who's called a Gumby cat. And the Gumby cat's name, what was it again? It's Jenny Any Dots. Jenny Any Dots. She sort of is... I guess being teased for being a layabout, and she sort of lounges around at home, but she's not been idle. She actually has taught some mice how to sing, and all of the other cats take this information as read, do not attempt to eat the mice, and then they're all kind of indifferent as though, in fact, I believe Jason Derulo's cat says, it's kind of old-fashioned, don't you think?
he takes
the song
huge,
and dance with the mice.
The old-fashioned nature.
And then she has these cockroaches perform a military tattoo, which is like a marching band. And then these cockroaches are sort of also anthropomorphized. So they have human faces and appear to have emotions and hopes and dreams of their own. And they're performing for her. I think this is the song and dance number she's hoping that will win her the Jellicle Cat Contest. And as they're performing, she starts just picking them off and eating them.
Yeah.
And they don't appear to grow more nervous. They just sort of accept it as par for the course. But, I mean, that was a bit of fun. And
I guess.
It also leads me to... I do want to talk about Jason Derulo as the...
How gutted were you that at no point through the movie he said, Jason Derulo?
If they wouldn't have fun with it, they could have just had him say, Rum Tum Tugger.
Yeah.
But he has one of the worst songs. It's all about how he's a fucking menace.
Yeah.
It's like, it's pretty much, he's singing from the perspective of a toddler. He goes, when I'm inside, I want to be outside. When I'm outside, I want to be inside.
I'm saying the lyrics are fucking atrocious.
I'm a living nightmare. He does, however, have a real scene-stealing moment, which is down to performance and not casting. Much later on, when Mr. Mistopheles is trying to perform a magic trick to conjure the return of
Old Deuteronomy,
who is also at this point has been stolen by Macavity and has been kept on this boat with some of the other cats who were performing in the big jellicle ball. He's like trying as hard as he can, and everyone's getting around Mr. Mistopheles and saying, you're a legend, man. You got magic, you can do it.
You got this, champ.
He keeps trying, and it doesn't happen. They sing another big verse, and he tries, and it doesn't happen. And they sort of get this cutaway of Jason Derulo doing this face, which is like, this is not good. And it got a big laugh out of you.
Yeah.
It got a laugh. It got a titter from the wider cinema. I felt like we were laughing at the offbeats.
Yes.
I hope we didn't detract from the enjoyment of the Cats diehards.
I think we went in there with a respectful attitude, trying not to kill it for people who were there to, you know, enjoy this movie as it was supposed to be enjoyed. The thing is, right, this is another thing I hate about Andrew Lloyd Webber. I don't hate all his musicals, but I hate Cats. The first notes you hear in this whole movie are this shitty synth, like real shitty synth, like a 30... That's the fucker.
That's good, because that's like knockoff Funhouse music.
Yeah.
That's what you hear when you go to an agricultural fair and there's a haunted house and you walk in and that's the music they're playing. They bought it for $129 off whatever that website is where you can buy stock music.
Yeah.
That's what that is. And it sets the tone perfectly because you're in this glossy, hyper-real sort of version of London.
But everything else has got like a brass band and there's real instrumentation and it's big. Because that's the thing, they ram so much dumb shit down your throat successfully. The story is stupid. The songs are stupid. The lyrics are stupid. The characters are so stupid and one-dimensional. But because you have this like chorus of song and unison from talented performers and it's backed up by this huge band, you get swept up in it. But when you take it back to some shithouse funhouse mirror, it's like, well, now we don't have anything at all. And that's the first thing you're greeted with. And I was like, oh no, this is going to suck.
I thought it set the tone well because I was like, oh.
I mean, it was honest.
This, I was like, and it's off.
Yeah, it's off.
It's off. You're off balance from the jump.
Yeah.
And I love that.
It just sets you up. Like, it set me up to be really depressed and annoyed.
Yeah, that's not how you want to enter a film. It does give you a few reset points. It does really lag at some moments, but because of the pace and the sheer number of characters who are being introduced in the variety of songs, you at least, you know, it's like watching a lineup show of comedians where you're like, well, you might not like this one,
but
there's another thing just around the corner. So I mean, I say that now. This is our first screening. I'd like to ask you, Tim, and I will ask you this daily. The entire movie or musical does hinge on the notion of this jellicle ball and Dame Judi Dench's, you know, jellicle choice. And so I turn to you today and ask you, who was your jellicle choice?
Jennifer Hudson, whatever that one's called.
Grisabella. The same as Dame Judi.
Yeah.
And why?
Whilst James Corden, hate him as I do, I think picked the tone correctly in terms of just the right amount of silliness, but also kind of buy-in, you know, I think he got that mix right. Jennifer Hudson overshot that fucker, like seeing someone fuck up a motorcycle ramp trick where they don't land on the like landing strip. They're over the car park.
Yeah, yeah.
She shot it with emotion and I was there for it, man.
Yeah.
It felt very real. And I know that Jennifer Hudson, God bless her, she's got a lot of tragedy in her life to draw upon. And I felt like I, you know, got privy to that. She was using it in the performance.
That's beautiful. I also think she had a leg up because her character, her cat, is one of the only ones who's imbued with any, like, it's very challenging to form emotional investment in the other cats just because they come and they go. They're not tethered to any sense of reality, but we constantly see her being bullied sad, by mournful. The other cats and sad. And so to see that redemption.
It was your jellical choice.
It's got to be Skimbleshanks, the railway cat.
The cat that reminded us they should all be wearing pants.
Not for that. I mean, that was a fun wrinkle, but just out of nowhere, a breath of fresh air when I needed it, comes in. Everyone's like, who's next? And then no one seems to know who this cat is.
Yeah.
But everyone loves him.
Yes.
He comes in his tap shoes.
He's got a ginger twiddly moustache. Yeah,
he starts fucking marching around the hall, telling everyone about how he works at the railway, and everyone's like, okay. And then he keeps going, he really whips everyone into a frenzy.
Fuck yeah.
He takes everyone to the train.
He does.
I mean, that's a fun guy. He gets everyone to his workplace.
Yeah.
Clean linen, beds are made, and he goes, fuck, get in there, muck around,
yeah,
have a bit of a laugh. The song rips.
Yep, it's good.
He gets everyone
tap dancing. He's got a tap dancing
break. Everyone tap dancing on the railway. At one point, they're bigger than usual. Another point, they're smaller than usual. And then he leaves. He doesn't expect anything from it. Well, actually, by the end of that, I was going to go and nudge you and say, it's got to be this guy. But then fucking McCavity, he does this crazy dance move at the end where he starts twirling. And I honestly thought he'd won because he was twirling.
Same.
And
he was ascending.
I thought he was ascending. Like Dame Judi Dench is only a vessel through which, you know, a higher being makes their selection. But it was actually McCavity and some of his dark magic. And he eventually winds up on this cruise ship on the River Thames. It's not a cruise ship. It's a sort of rundown tugboat. But he was a sensation. And he's got to be my jellical choice. And I do feel sort of the power to make that, because I feel like a jellical cat. And I will say this to you too. I don't know or presently think that you actually have what it takes to be a jellical cat.
Having just seen cats, I'm fucking fine with that today. Can I ask you a question? This is going to put you on the spot a little bit, but this came to me during the movie and I'd like to ideally ask you, or maybe the guest each episode, can you think of a more inappropriate text to adapt to film than cats?
What is a film? Or not a film. What is something that just it doesn't have the legs?
I'll wait.
Yeah, I mean, you'll have to.
Name a less dynamic duo. I'll wait.
I'm drawing a blank here. I'm thinking, I saw Elf the musical on Broadway once, but
you
that was an instance of the wrong order where
Elf with an A.
No,
Elf the cat eating alien?
Elf, Will Ferrell Elf.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
That should have stayed as a movie, which is not an answer to your question. I mean, as it stands.
No, that is the question.
Can I come back tomorrow?
No. I'm actually not going to end the podcast until you can give me an answer of what a more inappropriate text to adapt to film would be.
Do you have one in mind?
No.
And you've known this question for an hour and a half?
Yeah,
now?
Totally. I'll try and think of one if you want, but I wanted to throw it to you today. Do you want me to try and think of one?
I just find it really challenging. I would say...
Do you know what? Ironically, I was going to say the Bible, but then Andrew Lloyd Webber made Jesus Christ Superstar, which then was also made into a film.
I think Sex in the City 2. I think Sex in the City 2, you know, within my immediate mental reach, is something that would probably play...
Should not have been made into a movie?
Oh, God damn it. I keep reversing it.
You are.
Well, it shouldn't be made into a musical for a start.
What is something that exists in the world that would be a more inappropriate choice to be adapted to film than Cats was? Okay, I got one. The Edmonds Cookbook. Fuck, no, actually, I could see that really working.
Turned into a movie?
Yeah, because it would be it'd be like a Julie and Julia thing. It'd be like telling the story of an intergenerational story of some parent passing down these recipes with this cookbook that's in every New Zealand home produced by a baking soda company.
Yeah.
Going through telling the stories of their youth.
It's ballpark. I feel like we should try and, I mean, I don't know enough musicals.
All right, I got
try
one.
And keep it to musicals.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's tough going out there. I don't know enough about musicals.
I think musicals is too hard. I was going to say the instruction manual for a Weber barbecue would be quite hard to adapt to film.
Yeah. I think that would be worse.
That would be worse than Cats.
Cats is bad.
But it's better than a film adaption of the instruction manual to a Weber barbecue.
Undeniably. And it's also not fun.
We're going to revisit that question on the coming days as we spend a week with Cats. Thank you so much for joining us on this first outing. Guy, you got anything you need to squeeze in there before we
not at all.
Send this great first episode on the hot air balloon that is Dame Judi Dench's lie to the rest of the Jellico cult?
Absolutely not. Save to say, that was episode Meow. Join us tomorrow for episode Meow Meow.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.